Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. Today, I'm talking with Lori Stickling. Lori and her husband, Delane, own Covenant Plumbing in Bloomington, Illinois. This is my second podcast with Lori. Our first interview was 4 years ago. Episode 70. So if you want to get the background information about Lori, how she got into the business, what they were doing to grow the business, listen to that episode. And she told an amazing story in that episode. Everyone should hear it, especially someone that's new to the industry. 4 years ago, I said Covenant Plumbing was a company to watch, that we would see them become a very successful company. So today we're going to hear what they've implemented in the last 4 years and what's happened. Lori Stickling, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. I am really delighted to get this chance to catch up with you. This is great. So thank you for doing this.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for asking us to be on this podcast and to share more of our story.
So when we talked with you at the end of 2020, you talked about a lot of stuff that you were doing, how you had left new construction, you were implementing marketing, seeing your numbers improve in a whole bunch of different ways. You talked about wanting to make your company a valuable asset to fund your futures and that your son was interested in joining the business. So catch us up. What's happened in the last 4 years?
It's been drinking from a fire hose, or the other thing I thought of as I looked back over this time. We've taken so many steps forward, but it was like two steps forward, one step back, you know, just steady forward progress. But it was a lot of work. But what is super fun was when you reached out to me, it was like an opportunity to stop, step back, look at what we had done over the last 4 years. Because I think we get so focused on where we're going and what we have ahead of us and how far we have to go to reach what other people are doing, all of that stuff. And you don't often stop and look at in the rearview mirror more than about a year when you're making your goals for the next year. So to look at 4 years of time was really a good exercise. So I appreciate the opportunity for that. But 4 years have been full of learning. We've done conferences and training. We've just been reading books and listening to podcasts and trying to implement everything we could learn that would help our business. So in those 4 years, I will say our revenue has tripled. We're super thankful for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was exciting to look at that. I went back and looked and I'm like, yeah, that's something that we've been able to do. We've worked a lot on customer service and technical skills for our field employees. We've worked really hard at learning better soft skills in homes with customers and on our phones, booking every call that comes in, learning how to do some outbound calling to keep our schedules full. We've gotten better at marketing, something that I could talk about later, but just learning that marketing is a role that we have to own. And so learning everything that I could about marketing, digital marketing, content marketing, community marketing, and trying to implement better any of those things. We've worked on our company culture. We've worked on tons of processes, created a membership program. Delane and I have really worked on our leadership skills. That's something that when you're small and you don't have a lot of people to answer to, you don't have a lot of that skill base. And so we've really worked on leadership, becoming better leaders, becoming better managers, but identifying how to be inspiring for our team. So all of that to say, we've been busy, but we've been blessed. We're super thankful to be where we are today.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the nature of who we are and how we operate. You know, as managers, you're always looking for what's wrong because you know you've got to go and fix it. But you fix it and then you go on to the next problem and you fix it and then you go to the other one. And you don't really take the time to go back and say, wow, over the last 4 years, we fixed a lot of stuff and all together, that ended up being a lot. It ended up tripling our revenue.
Yeah.
But it's hard to go and say, this was the one thing that we did. And, you know, this is all I want to talk about. It's tough to do that. Well, congratulations. Tripling your revenue in 4 years, that's not trivial. That's amazing. And last time we talked, you said that the numbers were, you'd seen some exciting changes, I think, in labor, which you talked about. What else have you seen?
What we've really worked on has been understanding the cost of doing business. You know, that's something that a lot of ServiceNation has helped us learn how to do and how to focus on. But It's learning how to price your product and your service so that you can make a profit at the end of the day. And the profit is what then fuels the growth and the ability to provide for our employees a great living, good benefits. It allows us to give back into our community. And it's just provided a more stable environment for everyone here. So knowing how to read your numbers, starting to learn how to price things, it's how to pay our employees. We implemented like performance pay. So starting to reward people for the work that they do has really been helpful. So all of that together has just really helped us be a more profitable company and have a better place for the future for all of us.
When did you implement performance pay and how did your team react to it?
We actually started doing performance pay about 3 years ago, and we're on our second iteration of it. So it's been challenging. It hasn't been perfect and it hasn't been easy. But what we have found, I guess, is to say that it is a much better environment with our employees since we implemented a one-on-one coaching meeting every single week for every single employee. So every employee meets with a manager, and that has truly helped. So our performance pay in the beginning was more of a tiered, like you make this much, you're going to get this percent additional. If you, you know, reach this next tier, you'll get this much. But if someone went on vacation or was out sick, they couldn't get to those tiers as well. We changed at the beginning of last year to a more of a commission pay structure, and it was good, but it still is difficult. There's certain times when something happens on a job or one guy does something and then another guy has to go fix it. You know, there's just always issues that come up. And when you can talk about those immediately with the employee directly, I think it helps so much versus the dumpster talks. You know, they're out behind the dumpster ruminating on different things. That has been our lesson, is more just better and immediate communication has really helped us with our employees feeling satisfied and happy with the performance pay structure and any of the different things we're trying to do, but especially that.
Each employee gets time every week, one-on-one time. I think that's really important. Good for you guys. One of the problems with performance reviews are sometimes people will wait and they don't get a review until the end of the period. And they're clueless that they were making people unhappy or that there were problems that they needed to work on or, you know, how well they were doing. But constant feedback is really good. So good for you guys for implementing that. You know, we didn't really do an overview of Covenant Plumbing now. What can you tell us? What has changed over the time as far as the company itself?
So when we spoke last, I went back and listened because I couldn't even remember where we had come from.
Yeah, I did too.
Was it six employees?
Yeah, something
and three
like
bands
that. Yeah.
Running. And so that's today we're at 16 employees and we have seven vans running. We have an eighth that is available. So we're constantly kind of trying to add that next van. We have five people in the office. So we went from just having one person do kind of all the office stuff with me to CSR dispatcher and an office manager and 11 guys in the field. So we have lots of helpers. That's kind of how we grow our plumbing role, is to have helpers in an apprenticeship. And so all in all, 16 employees and seven vans running. So it's been good, steady growth.
That's great. So you kind of alluded to this about team members. I mean, in plumbing, it's always a challenge to get more technical people on the team, more plumbers. So are you doing the two to a truck, get an apprentice in, get him trained, and get him moving into being a journeyman plumber?
Yeah, that's really been our strategy. It has been really hard for us to find people with plumbing skills. In Illinois, it 4 years in an apprenticeship before you can take the test to become licensed. And there's not enough people to fill the jobs here. So we tried for a long time to find people with apprentice, you know, years in their apprenticeship or licensed plumbers. But most of the time, too, they didn't fit our culture and what we're trying to do as a business. And so we have found that when we can find people who have really great attitudes and a desire to have a license, to have a trade that they can really rely on for the future. Those people come in and they have been such great assets to our company. And so that's really how we've decided to grow our business. It's slow. It makes it very slow and steady. It's not a meteoric rise to the top at all. But with these people that we have been so blessed to find, they have great attitudes. They're hardworking and they just get how to take things apart and put them back together. And it's been fun to watch them succeed in their growth.
Yeah. How do you find those people? I mean, that's a problem as well, right? But I'm guessing that you're looking for somebody that is a better cultural fit or something like that.
Yeah. You know what we have really found is people with military background.
Wow. Interesting.
We love them. Our Marines have been really amazing. They're hardworking. They like structure and the process that we're trying to work with. They seem to, you know, just always come every day with a good attitude. So that's been one way. It hasn't been intentional. It just seems like the people that have come and interviewed that have that military background are the people that fit well. We've actually brought people in that had some technical aptitude of some sort, but it's really just interviewing a lot of people when we have that opening. If a good person sends in a resume, we'll interview them every time, but it's just kind of weeding out people that don't seem to, if they can't seem to interact with us well, smile, laugh at Delaine's corny jokes, all of that stuff. It seems like those people are the people that have come in and really fit well in our environment.
Yeah. Yeah. So are they responding to ads in Indeed? Is it something on social media? Where does the initial contact come from?
We do a lot of our hiring here in Illinois and on Indeed. And that's where it seems like a lot of people come to us. We've tried different places, you know, ZipRecruiter, different job boards. Indeed has been the best. And now we're starting, as we've grown, it's also becoming like word of mouth. Friends of our and contacts of our employees.
Oh, that's the best. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you guys. Well, it speaks well for you too. You know, if you've got your own employees referring people to come and work for you, it means they're happy with you guys as well. And they see opportunities for other people. So that's exciting. Speaks really well for you guys. So I did a quick scan of your website. I looked it over and I don't remember all this stuff being on there before. Maybe it was and I just don't remember, but there's a lot of great stuff on your website. You've got tons of amazing reviews. I think before you had decent reviews and a good number of them, but now you've got hundreds of them, maybe thousands. I'm not sure, but there's a lot of great reviews. Your rating is 4.9 on Google. That's fantastic. You've got useful articles, you got videos, you've got the awards that you've won. You're so modest, you didn't even mention that you won all these awards, but you won a bunch of awards, so congratulations on that. And then it looked like you had done a rebranding as well, so tell me about that.
Yeah, all right. For the reviews, that's been a lot of hard work. We were at 100, I think, is what I caught in our last conversation. Yeah. And we're just above 950 right now. So we're going to throw a party when we get to 1,000 because it is hard work to get them, but it's super fun to see that number creep up there. And the awards, you know, that's been really great to have. We feel like it is just more something that establishes us for customers who are looking at us. Can we trust them, you know, what's their reputation? It helps a little bit with that. So it's been nice to receive some of those. We're grateful for that. But the rebranding is so exciting. And that's something we just did in January. We rolled that out. And it was something we rolled around in our mind for years, but we had a pretty nice brand. And it was always one of those, like, should we spend all that money? It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of work. Is that something we need to do or is what we have good enough? But as I've really worked on our marketing strategy, the biggest thing is we have all these vans rolling around town and we had a blue water drop. I really loved our old logo, but it was blue and gray. And actually, there's probably 8 other businesses in town that have similar colors. So that was one thing. And then when you start doing like billboards or you're trying to stand out in that way as well, it was like, I can't do any, I have to add colors or I need to do something. So we were working on doing some sort of a change to add in a brighter color to be more outstanding. And we talked to Kick Charge Creative and they provided us with these ideas or, you know, what would be shockingly different. And we decided to just go for it, David, and yeah. Roll this out. And our vans are so bright, a teal green, and then there's a plum color. And they just stand out on the roads. When I meet them, I just smile because I can see them a half a mile away. And our billboards are just bright and, you know, really noticeable. And I just think it'll help. You know, you want to have someone see your logo or to see you 7 to 8 times before you stick in their minds and before they think of you. And so that was kind of the intentionality behind it, was how can we better be sticky for people who don't know us so that they'll remember us and they'll look us up instead of using pay-per-click or some of these other more expensive mediums of advertising to reach us. I want them to Google us. I want them to go to our website. I want them to look us up on the Google Business Profile. And so that's our hope. Obviously, since we just rolled out in January, we're not going to see that. But in different places that I'm at in the community, people are like, man, I'm seeing your trucks everywhere. And
a great sign. Yeah.
I hope that bodes well.
Yeah. Well, I looked at it. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. And Kick Charge just does a great job. I mean, they've done a lot of the ServiceNation Alliance members, and every time they do something, it's unique and it's beautiful and it really stands out in the market. So
yes,
good job. Yeah, that's exciting.
And I loved how they, you know, they really took our brand and they made it more tied into our name, Covenant. It's got a scrolling image and it's got a wax seal with CP in it. So it really also is going to help us tell our brand story. Once I get to the next phase, it will be utilizing some of those elements that they included to tell a story about who we are and what we stand for. So that's going to be exciting too.
Okay. You said we've decided you really have to own marketing. What did you mean by that?
Good question, because I feel like that has been a really great lesson in the last year that I can just pass on it to others. And that was that marketing was something I was interested in, but I thought that, you know, hiring a digital marketing agency and finding an agency to help me with some other, you know, social media or other things would just check off the marketing box. And what I have learned in the last year was that I need to own marketing. And so I have really dug in and worked to learn what is digital marketing. So that is like, what is SEO? What drives it? What's going to make it better? What do I need to hold my digital marketing agency accountable to doing for me? You know, it's your metadata and your tags and your updates and your keywords. And there's so many things that you have to know. And so it's finding a way to create that scorecard and monitor the progress and ask the right questions. And then you have your pay-per-click and you have social media and you have your non-digital marketing. But it's learning about all of those things, learning what is available, how many different ways can you market your company, what is the best use of the money that you have available. So it's knowing what my budget is for 2025, what are the ways that I'm going to spend it? If there's other additional opportunities that come up, how do I measure their ROI? All of that in the last year, I have seen so much positive impact by just taking it all back and owning it myself. It's a big hat and it's taken a lot of time, but I just decided every Tuesday, that's my job. Tuesdays are marketing. I schedule marketing meetings. I look at everything. I have scorecards. I review reports that tell me what's been going on. So there's just an ownership of it that I was hoping someone else would come and rescue me from. And I realized that this is something that I needed to just take on and do. And I feel that it has really impacted our business more than anything else in the last year and created a little more, it's driven demand just by being actively engaged.
Wow. That is so interesting. So you said you had to dig in and learn about digital marketing. How did you do that?
I attended some trainings. I have found books. There's a couple of marketers that send emails every week and it's kind of like current trends and things going on with Google and different information like that. But you have so many balls in the air when you're a small business owner. And so I have had to move a lot of other things off my plate, but it really is about looking and spending the time to learn. So whatever is out there and available, to find those mediums and do it. The training, it was like a digital marketing basics. There are books out there too, though. So it's just finding sources of information and teaching yourself. It's like getting a degree without going to college.
That's a lot of work.
So, it was, but I think it pays for itself.
Yeah.
For us anyway. Yeah.
So something had to have happened. So you outsourced this to other people in the past, is what I'm guessing. And you just were not happy with the results, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yes. I felt like the voice oftentimes just didn't reflect what I wanted it to be speaking. I'm trying to say that. Yes, it was. There were just several things, and you're spending so much money. And when it isn't someone else's first love, it just isn't the same as when I took it and I'm doing it. I care so much. This is my baby.
Yeah.
And so I can promote ourselves a lot more passionately and with a lot more firsthand knowledge, I guess. But I also found someone local who helps me with social media, and she was part of a small agency and branched off on her own and is kind of a freelancer. And she does such a great job with our social media and speaks in a voice that understands our market, you know, our town. Yeah. So that's another thing that has been really nice. But it's been working one-on-one with people. It just seems to have made a real difference to take that ownership back.
That is really interesting. Very insightful. So what's next for Covenant Plumbing?
Well, we really have sat back and tried to think about where we want to head. And as we do, I think for us, it's just steady, profitable growth. I think that is what we feel most comfortable with, Delaine and I. We probably don't want to be a huge, massive company in our market, but we do have a son. And that was one of the things that we were talking about in 2020, weren't sure where he was going to head, but he is working part-time. He's an apprentice and he's going to school, going to college, but planning to come and join us in the business. So that gives us our future. But we really have been working hard on mastering our craft. So being great plumbers, being organized, having good processes, having happy employees, providing awesome customer service and leaving our customers feeling good. And then if we feel like we've gotten there, I don't know if we will ever, but the hope is that we will. And then it would be looking to add HVAC to that. In our market, it's about 175,000. We're going to need to add on probably another line of business if we want to grow much further past about 3 to 4 years out.
Yeah. I was going to ask you guys if you were thinking about adding HVAC or electrical or something else, but HVAC would be the natural one.
It feels like a lot of work right now, so we've got a lot of learning to do about that. I don't know if, you know, you could find someone who's already doing it and partner with them or start it from scratch. But we'll get there. I'm trying not to cross that bridge too early and just to really get to be the most respected. We want to be a respected brand in our market that people think of. We want, you know, a great culture here in our business. And so those are the things that we are focusing on for 2 to 3 years out and just really getting all that we are doing to be a well-oiled machine. And then that would probably be our next look.
Great answer, by the way. And I agree with you. Steady, profitable growth. You know, it's not that easy, first of all. And second of all, it's a safe way to grow your business. And you guys have done it really well. No reason not to keep on doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So think about your time in the industry, what you've learned. If you could go back in time, what would you tell the younger you just as you were starting to work in this business?
First, I would tell them to find an industry group or associate, you know, a trade association like Service Nation Alliance right away. I looked back, we were 13 years in business before we found Service Roundtable. And then it was another year before we joined Service Nation Alliance. And since then, the changes and the growth that we've had is just amazing. So I do think just finding peers and learning from industry best practices, that would be my greatest tip. But then from there, it's understanding how to price your products and services so you can be profitable, run a profitable business. Because at the end of the day, if your business isn't profitable, you might as well go work for someone and make some money, make a living. So I think that those things are a really big deal. And then it's implement what you learn. Take what you are learning and get it implemented, get it working, and just constantly be learning and putting in new things.
So got some flash questions for you. What's your favorite business book?
I have a few, but Traction has been super fundamental in our business. We did implement that and started doing some of those things. So that probably is my favorite all-time book, just going back to that and trying to do better. The Ideal Team Player has been a very good one for building a team. It talks about people who are hungry, humble, and smart, if you will, and just trying to learn how to have a better team is hiring the right people and getting the right team in place. And then the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. We read that as a team, and that has been a really good, you know, just your basic ones. But I have a couple that I've been reading currently. So those are just like all-time favorites that you kind of go back to. My current one is Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell. And it's just about being more efficient with your time, learning how to be a better time manager. And for marketing, They Ask You Answer, which is about answering your customers' questions and finding ways to put that content out there for them to find so that you can be kind of a trustworthy source of information in your niche.
What was the name of that one?
They Ask, You Answer. And it's Marcus Sheridan. Yeah, it's been really, I've just been on fire about it.
Wow, these are good. Favorite non-business book?
I feel like as a Christian, the Bible is, and that's probably a pretty pat answer, but I feel like reading that, I try to read it every morning and it keeps me pointed in the right direction. And it kind of makes me search my heart and my intentions and make sure that I am headed in the right direction every single day. So that would be my answer.
Most influential person in your life?
I would have to say my parents. My parents built a very successful manufacturing business, but they've really given back to people their whole lives. They have always been humble. They've always been kind. They raised 7 kids, including me. I wasn't an easy one to raise, but they taught us all the value of faith, of hard work, you know, investing and being good financially. They taught us to be kind and giving. So I really admire them.
Great. What do you like to do in your free time?
Delane, my husband, is sitting here and he just giggled because that's probably, I don't have a whole lot of free time. But, you know, I think first and foremost, my family is so important and I like to spend time with them. We have a 16-year-old, so getting to her events and keeping her on track is probably a big part of my free time. But then I'm on boards. I am on the school board and I'm at our church. I'm the communications director and the secretary. I belong to the Rotary and I'm at the
Rotary, yes.
Commerce. Yes, I love our Rotary.
Yeah, Rotary's fantastic.
Yes, yeah. I have been a member for a year, or it's coming up on a year, and I just am so happy that I found it and that I'm part of it. It's just been a really great organization. It's, you know, service above self, but it's so many people in there that are giants in our community, and you're getting to know them, and you have the opportunity to do so much good. So I've really enjoyed it.
My only complaint about the Rotary is I wish I had found it years before I did.
That's true. Exactly.
I should have joined a long time before. Well, Lori, this has been fantastic. Thank you for revisiting with me and letting me catch up with you. I'm so happy to hear what you guys have been up to. And thank you for making my prediction come true. I said you guys would be very successful. You are very successful.
Well, thank you. You know, we have a lot of growth and learning to do. It's not perfect at all either, but it is exciting to learn and implement the things that we're learning and to see it all make a difference. So we feel very grateful for the industry too. You know, just I feel like the home services industry has so many people who are willing to help, who want to answer questions, who give back to others, kind of coming behind them. And it's been really fun to start to feel the ability to share with other people and help others with the things that we've learned. So it is super exciting for me to start to learn how to give back or to be able to give back because so many did that before us.
Yeah, it's a very generous industry. And you're a very generous person. So I know you're paying it forward as well. So thanks for that.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking us to talk about our story. We're always glad to help others or share.
All right. Look forward to talking to you again in the future.
All right. Thanks, David.
Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.